Hey everybody, it's time for another episode of Coco and Daltz. I'm not Daltz.
And I'm not Coco.
You don't have to do that voice every time.
I'm not Coco.
No, that's not better, actually. So if you're in the States, we're coming to you live to your iTunes podcast app on Memorial Day, which is a holiday here in the U.S., or is it Victoria Day in Canada?
That was last weekend.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's close. It's
Meghan Markle Day now, as it's been renamed.
No, we are not talking about the royal wedding. I'm not going to get off on a rant about that before we even talk about
it. Should we start this podcast over again? I don't want you to be all angry.
As opposed to hangry, which you seem to think I am every day when I come home from work.
I don't want you to go on any sort of anti-monarchist rant and then just totally sidetrack us from the topic of today's podcast.
Which is why we're not going to talk about Meghan Markle, and instead we're going to talk about Solo, a Star Wars story.
The red cups either.
Not the red cups, although we might be drinking some adult libations out of them later, because it is a holiday here in the States.
It is.
We just got back from seeing Solo, a Star Wars story, so we thought we would fill you guys in on what we thought of it and what the box office has been like and what the reviews have been like, et cetera, et cetera. So, Daltz, you're a whole lot better at summaries than I am. So why don't you tell the folks at home what the movie's about, in case they can't tell that it's about Han Solo, considering that's
it's
the name of the movie.
Solo, a Star Wars story. The end.
Yeah, that's pretty much all you need to know.
Okay, so I'm going to totally crib the IMDb entry because I think it's more succinct than I could be in this regard.
All right, let's do
it. So full attribution to IMDb for this summary. During an adventure into the criminal underworld, Han Solo meets his future co-pilot Chewbacca and encounters Lando Calrissian years before joining the rebellion. If I could only speak, I'd be fine.
Maybe it's because of the voice that you're using.
You don't think that's real? Coco, could you pass the salt, please?
I'm going to pass you the salt.
I'm going to pass you the salt. So it's essentially a Han Solo origin story.
Yes.
Which, whether we needed that or not is another topic for later on in this podcast. But it's essentially, hey, Han Solo, how'd you get to be so rad and cool?
And how'd you get the Falcon? And how'd you become a smuggler?
And how'd you get a carpet for a best buddy?
Yeah. So what did you think of Solo, a Star Wars story?
So I was astounded. I loved the movie. Well, I don't know about I loved it, but I really liked it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was much better than I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. So going into this movie, Coco, you and I were reading reviews and talking about it and hearing box office numbers being thrown around, that sort of thing, which we'll get to. But the expectations were set low going into the movie.
Neither one of us actually really wanted to go see it, but...
And truth be told, and transparency is always a thing that I believe in, we went to see it for you, the users, and also so that we could write off our tickets on our taxes.
Which is going to be kind of hard to do since you used that gift card I gave you, right?
Oh, the lady charged me, though, for some reason. Yeah, there wasn't enough money left on the card.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, God, what...
So I had some empties in the car, so I went to the package store while you were getting popcorn.
That was a really long line for Raisinets and Reese's Pieces. I was starting to get hangry. Give me my Raisinets, damn it.
So I've told the story of the summary. Yes. Do you want to tell a little bit about the backstory of the whole, how this movie got made?
Yeah, well, first, let me just say that I agree with you. I enjoyed it a whole lot more.
Sorry. Coco, how did you feel about the movie?
Well, we were talking about empty, so I can see why you get sidetracked. Yeah, I liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to. Like I said, neither one of us actually really wanted to go see it. We went into it with extremely low expectations. I didn't like it as much as I liked The Force Awakens or Rogue One, but I liked it a hell of a lot more than I liked The Last Jedi. The Last Jedi was kind of...
stinky?
A flaming pile of garbage. So...
Wow.
So given... And even the trailers that I saw, I was...
For Solo.
I was not really into it at all, because the trailers I saw were focused not on Han Solo. And that's not a good sign when the titular character is not actually featured.
Titular. I'll take a shot.
All right. Yeah. Daltz is having some beer. So, So, yeah, so what we're talking about, for those of you who maybe have not heard, is...
So you're just new to this country or perhaps to this world. Yeah. You haven't heard anything of any of the backstory of Solo, a Star Wars story.
Yeah, so Solo had a very messy production. The original directors, Lord and Miller, were fired at some point during filming, and Ron Howard was brought in to...
Because why not?
Yeah, because that's exactly who you think of when you think of Star Wars movies, is Ron Howard.
Oh, no, we need a director. Who do we get? I know, Richie Cunningham.
Right, totally. So they brought in Ron Howard. There were also stories that...
Wait a minute. So I just made this connection.
Okay, what's that?
George Lucas's movie, American Graffiti... starred Ron Howard.
Oh, there you go.
So that's why it happened.
Yeah,
that's totally why it happened.
Even though George Lucas no longer has any kind of control over the Star Wars universe.
Right.
But it's, you know, going back 40 years, 50 years almost now.
Right.
Whoa, that's a long time. So
go on, I'm sorry.
So yeah, so the directors got fired. The guy who's playing young Han Solo, who we believe his name is pronounced Alden Ehrenreich, there were reports that an acting coach was brought in for him because he was so bad and the Disney bigwigs were freaking out because this is Han Solo. This is the driver of this movie. This is one of the most beloved characters in all of cinematic history, basically. And this kid isn't up to the task. So,
which is, by the way, it's a tough task to be up to.
Right.
Like, try being Han Solo. Try being Harrison Ford.
Right. Those are big shoes to fill.
They are. Or big blasters to engage with.
Right. Or a big fedora if you're Indiana Jones to wear.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah. So it was just a very messy production. The productions of The Force Awakens and Rogue One were also very famously messy. But
so
those...
these movies all are since Disney took over the franchise.
Correct.
Is that correct?
That is. And the overseeing producer for Disney on all of these is one person named Kathleen Kennedy, who I don't know if I want to crap on her too much for all of this because I don't know how much of it is she's bad at her job versus... she's a woman, and if she were a man, people would be saying she's coming in and she's trying to clean things up versus she's a woman, so she's just, you know, she's terrible, and this woman is overstepping her bounds, and, you know, she's a harpy, whereas a man would be decisive, you know. So
I think here's what my opinion is on this, and you didn't ask, but I'm going to provide it anyway.
I would love to hear it.
I think it's creativity by committee. It never works. So there's 5,000 people watching dailies of the movie.
Right.
And they're all weighing in with their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in previous installments, it was a little bit more independent. Now, it was still mainstream because there were still big studios involved.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't as... there weren't as many cooks in the kitchen.
Right.
And I just think that a lot of the stuff with Disney is you get... the stakes are higher and higher.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Bob Iger having a look at dailies and he's like, really? Is this... kid Ehrenreich, is he Han Solo? Like, can he act? You know, and just one casual comment from somebody in charge sends the whole mess a running down.
Right, and Alden Ehrenreich did actually do a cover interview with Esquire in advance of this movie coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And
which I read.
Which you did read, and I've got the quote right here. He's talking about the acting coach, who is apparently a writer-director named Maggie Kiley, and his quote on her is... she was part of conversations that happened for a couple weeks at one point, but that was basically it. So that's totally a non-denial. That basically means that he had an acting coach.
But on the surface, though, 2 weeks? Is that what he said? A couple of weeks? 2 weeks?
Yeah.
So I think are you going to get acting help in 2 weeks?
I think the original reports were 3 weeks. So,
let's say it's 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Are you going to turn your acting game around in 3 weeks?
I mean, maybe at that point they were so far along in the production that that was all they had left, and they brought her into... I kind of feel bad for this guy. He's pushing 30, so I don't want to call him a kid. But
he's supposed to be a kid in the movie.
He's supposed to be a kid in the movie, but
he's not.
This is going to sound worse than I mean it, but like he didn't... I think you put it this way. He didn't sink the movie for me.
Yeah.
Like the first few scenes, like... and I don't know the order they shot the scenes in, obviously, but like it, the beginning of the movie, it seemed like he was kind of trying really hard to be like Harrison Ford, devil may care, witty, you know, pithy one-liners. But then as the movie went on, and I don't know how much of this is editing versus his performance, like,
yeah.
It seemed like he just kind of unclenched right. and just kind of, like, relaxed more into the role and just kind of went with it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I maybe somebody else could have been cast in that role, but he wasn't like, I didn't watch it and think, well, I hate him and this just totally ruined the movie for me and I wasted money.
Yes.
So.
I think the same thing too, as I was on, I had heightened awareness of his acting going in because I knew all the backstory and I'd read the Esquire piece and I knew that he potentially had gotten, you know, called on the carpet for being a bad actor in a mm-hmm. Disney movie franchise that's going to be potentially set the rest of his career
right.
In the right direction, and all of a sudden he's not good at it and he's on call.
He did say to Esquire that he signed for 3 solo movies,
right.
So we'll see if
those get executed. But
right.
I eventually just got lost in, I didn't see his acting. In other mm-hmm. words, I didn't see the sausage being made
right.
in this movie. He just mm-hmm. eventually he became a young Han Solo to me,
mm-hmm.
and that I think is the truest testament of all, is that I just started watching the movie
right
rather than like paying attention. And I think probably some people are doing that out there too, and that might be one of the reasons that. I mean, the reviews have been pretty decent.
Yeah.
The reception in terms of the box office has been muted compared to expectations. But again, those are Disney Avenger size expectations.
Right. Like, so we're taping this on Memorial Day. The box office.
2018.
The box office projections are for a domestic total for the holiday weekend to be like 103 to 107 million, which for a non Star Wars, Avengers movie.
It's pretty darn tootin' good.
Is really freaking good, but the projections had been that it would make 140 million. So
what's 40 million really?
Exactly.
Friends?
I mean, you know, I'd give them that if I had it.
Right.
You know, I mean,
right. Well, let's go back a couple more times and maybe we'll help them get to the 40 million.
Let's give them a few more gift cards and
more $12.95 right. admissions or whatever it happens to be.
Exactly. So
I think give the kid a break is my, I came out of that
right.
movie as like, give Aaron Reich a break. He wasn't
right.
terrible. He actually, if there hadn't been all this hoo-ha before the movie, I don't mm-hmm. think anybody really would have paid attention to it because he did an admirable enough job
right.
to keep everything moving. He
uh-huh.
was smart ass enough to keep
yeah.
the character in the presence
uh-huh.
and that sort of thing. And like we said earlier, that's a really tough character to play.
Yeah. It's, everybody knows Han Solo's performance, or Harrison Ford's performance as Han Solo.
Yeah.
I mean, we just saw
it.
We just saw it in The Force Awakens on big screens 2 years ago.
Right.
So,
right.
and it was the same old Han Solo. So,
right.
yeah, I didn't hate him as Han Solo.
Faint praise indeed.
Which I know that makes it sound awful, but I mean, could somebody else have been cast? Sure. So, could somebody else have done a better job? Sure. But I'm not gonna write a strongly worded email to Bob Iger and Kathleen Kennedy saying, you've ruined this franchise for me. I will say the casting of Donald Glover as young
yes.
Lando, spot on.
Yes.
He was amazing. I just flat out loved him as young Lando.
Yes.
I really want young Lando to get an origin story standalone now because
yeah.
that would be fantastic.
Well, and like we were talking about in the pre-show when we were rehearsing in front of the studio audience. You know, I think that as good as that movie was today, and I enjoyed it again more
mm-hmm.
than I thought I would, I don't think they need another one. I don't think they need another solo movie.
Right.
Where they should go is the Lando Calrissian,
mm-hmm.
turn that into a trilogy.
Right.
Because he was a really compelling, interesting character.
Yeah, definitely.
There was also a story I read that Danny Glover, who plays Lando Calrissian in this version, Lando
Donald.
Calrissian.
Sorry, Donald what, Glover.
What did I say?
Danny Glover. A few years older.
Oh, wait a minute. Wrong Glover.
Yeah, sorry.
From Lethal Weapon to
yeah.
Han Solo.
Right.
So, thank you for that. But he, Donald Glover, said that Lando Calrissian identifies as pansexual.
Oh, I saw that headline. I did not read that story.
So that would, to me, be another way that Disney loves this kind of embracing diversity and all that sort of thing. So that would be another way that they could, well, let's make a whole trilogy on Lando Calrissian and go with it from there.
Well, and especially as you pointed out, like they just had massive success with Black Panther.
Right.
So why not?
Right. Why would we not go in that direction with Star Wars, too?
Right, exactly. I mean, So they just announced that there's also going to be a Boba Fett origin story standalone, and
is there going to be a Jar Jar Binks standalone?
Oh, bloody hell, there better not be. Oh my god.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
You've never seen the prequels.
I've never seen Jar Jar Binks, but I've heard so many bad things about him.
Oh, Christ. It's brutal. And I'm saying this as somebody who's never been able to watch all of The Phantom Menace because it's so bad. Like, I fall asleep through it, and he was featured heavily in The Phantom Menace. But I have now completely lost my train of thought. Oh, Boba Fett.
Sorry.
So, in the prequel trilogy, Jango Fett, Boba's father Dad? / clone is actually, I mean, he's the father of the clone army for the Empire, like, because they're all clones of Jango Fett. So Boba Fett is actually, like, kind of a big deal because all these clones of him are the Imperial army, you know, are the stormtroopers. But yeah, you know, I'd rather see a Lando origin story than a Boba Fett story.
He was really intriguing in that. He played a really great role. And I am now scrolling through actors to see if there's anybody that we would have rather seen as Han Solo.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't think that they should recast. I don't think...
No.
You know, this is sort of more of an exercise in, okay, humor me.
Right.
What would have been better?
Right.
And so we've gone through this list. There's a lot of... So, Josh Hutcherson.
No.
Logan Learman.
No.
Alex Pettifer.
No.
These are all actors under 35.
Well, I could maybe see Alex Pettifer, but he's apparently notoriously difficult to work with, so I don't know how much that would have been a good idea on notoriously messy productions.
Right. You don't need to add that to
anyone. Right.
And this is, by the way, on IMDb, I'm reading the 30 hottest guys under 35. And I'm not on this list. I don't know how. I need to write in.
Dear IMDb.
Please. Dear Mr. IMDb.
Right.
WTF.
Right.
Seeing as you're all about the acronyms. Callan McAuliffe. Taylor Lautner.
No.
We need somebody with an edge. Like, a lot of these are pretty boys, right? We need somebody who...
Yeah.
Like, Aaron Reich is not exactly your traditional pretty boy. He's got the dreamy blue eyes, but he's not really, like... You know, he's not perfect. He's not pretty.
Right.
Uh-huh. So I think he was good in that regard. So Chris Mazzaglia.
I have no idea who that is.
I don't know. Liam Hemsworth.
He was one of the first people I thought of when we were trying to figure out who we would have recast. And I haven't seen Liam Hemsworth
because
in enough.
Because you're in love with Chris Hemsworth.
I mean.
With the guns.
Thor is pretty dreamy. I'm not going to lie. But I haven't seen Liam act in enough to know if he has, like. The chops, but he is one of the ones I thought of, yeah.
Number 8 on the list, Ryan Reynolds. He can't do it, obviously, because he's Deadpool.
No, because he's Deadpool. And speaking of Deadpool, can I kind of segue here?
Let's do it. Well, before we do that, I want to mention one more actor who's on this list from the Twilight series. His name is Boo-Boo Stewart.
Boo-Boo?
So wouldn't it be great to have Han Solo, Boo-Boo as Han Solo?
Well, why couldn't he just be Boo Boo Fett then?
Boo Boo Fett. Oh, that's a way better joke.
We didn't rehearse that. That's just FYI.
Another one was Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, interesting.
I like him. He's really good.
Yeah.
He's really good. Anyway, Channing Tatum.
Maybe.
I could
maybe see that, yeah.
That's an interesting
choice. I think he's too old for that role, though. I mean, he's definitely mid-30s, so
Well, he's under 35 to be on this list, so... Yeah. Anyway, mentioning earlier...
So, speaking of Deadpool, one of the reasons why... You know, I mean, obviously, between 100 and 110 million is an incredibly good weekend.
It's a great weekend, yeah.
But... For a Star Wars movie, it's not good. So people are now there's like the, you know, Monday morning quarterbacking, like what went wrong? Why didn't this live up to expectations? It's Han freaking Solo.
Right.
You know, there's a built-in audience.
Built-in marketing too. Like everybody knows who it's going to be, right?
Right. So one of the things that industry analysts are saying is, well, first of all, there's Star Wars fatigue. Like The Last Jedi just came out 5 months ago. Usually Star Wars movies come out during the holiday season when it's usually heavier Oscar baity type fare.
Right.
So if they maybe just would have pushed it off until December instead of in May, which I'm going to get to in a second, it would have fared better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it wouldn't have had as much competition. It also would have been a year between Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
I can see
but
that.
But also, people just paid money 3 weeks ago to go see Avengers Infinity War.
Right.
Last weekend, they just paid a lot of money to go see Deadpool 2.
Right.
And now here comes Solo, hot on the heels of those two crazy movies.
Right.
Like, maybe people just had to pick which one they weren't going to go see, and this is the one they decided not to go see. So,
well, and those are the top three movies. Just looking at the box office for the weekend,
mm-hmm.
the 4-day weekend, which is obviously not completed yet, but Solo is number one, Deadpool 2 is number two, and Avengers Infinity War is number three.
Right. So, and Deadpool has taken in a crazy amount of money. I believe I read earlier today that in its two weekends of release, it's made like $200 million.
Yeah.
So, domestically. So that's, so it had a crazy big weekend last weekend. Like, yeah, maybe people
for an R-rated movie.
Right. And maybe people are saying, okay, we know Solo is going to stick around in theaters for a while because these kind of movies always do, so we'll just go catch it the next time we get paid, as opposed to on opening weekend, which is also a holiday weekend, and we got other plans. Maybe we're traveling, so.
Maybe you just don't want to go see a damn movie.
Right. Well, I mean, we didn't really want to go see it. And
no, we didn't.
We ended up going to see it, and we ended up liking it a whole lot better than we thought we would. So.
And the theater was not crowded, but it was not uncrowded either.
Well, I mean, including us, there were maybe, what, 30 people in that theater?
Yeah, I think is pretty good for a 5 o'clock showing on a Memorial Day, you know, when people are usually out grilling like villains.
Yeah, grilling like villains. Look at you. You've only had one beer.
I'm on fire.
One other thing I want to mention, though, is Woody Harrelson. He played a major role in this movie. He was really good. I like Woody Harrelson as an actor.
I really like Woody
actor.
Harrelson, yeah.
But whoever decided to give him a 90s boy band haircut... Why? Why did you do that? So, all I could see was the Backstreet Boys every time I looked at him.
So I don't know how you feel about this, Coco, but every time I looked at Woody Harrelson's haircut, I thought, that's what I look like.
No,
I look pretty stylish. I look like Woody Harrelson with my new haircut that I got. So now that you think it's the Backstreet Boys, I'm going to reconsider my cosmetic options.
What are you going to do? You're going to get like a mohawk?
I'm going to get a faux hawk.
Faux hawk.
Yeah.
There we
how
go.
About that?
All right. I like it.
So Solo, even though people are talking it down and everything like that, it's the number four movie of 2018 already.
Wow. And we're just about halfway through 2018.
Not quite. And of course, the summer blockbusters have not launched.
Right.
So the series of sequels that we're bound to see in the coming months have not been out.
Right. We've still got Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is another Marvel movie coming out in a couple months.
Which is not going to be anywhere close to this.
You don't think so?
I just don't think so. I mean, it's Paul Rudd and some woman that I didn't recognize.
Evangeline Lilly from Lost.
Right. So again, I didn't recognize her. And Michael Douglas, and it just seems like it's, I don't know. Where was he during the old Avengers Infinity War thing?
Well, if we watched, so I've seen the first Ant-Man, and I've also seen Captain America Civil War, and I can't remember.
Because you've seen every Avengers movie.
I have not, actually, but I remember it being mentioned why Ant-Man couldn't be involved in the whole Infinity War thing, and I can't remember exactly why that is, but there's a reason. But
because he had to do I Love You Man 2.
Jason...
the beast.
Does Jason Segel start picking up after his dog in the second movie? Like, is there personal growth as a character? Like,
there's a lot of character development. He wouldn't come back and do the sequel unless there was some character development.
I don't
want to play the same role over and over again.
Not only does he pick up after his dog, but he owns like a dog poo scooping company.
He picks up after other dogs.
Right. Like, because those are a thing now. Like, people hire other people to pick up after
How
their dogs.
How lazy are we as a society? Where you have to hire somebody to pick up after your dog. If you don't want to pick up the dog poo, here's an idea. Don't get a dog.
This is why our download numbers aren't very big, because we go off the rails.
Because like we're alienating dog poo picker-upper buyers.
Because we started talking about Han Solo, and now we're talking about dog crap.
No, I think this is why America is missing out, because we cover a wide range of topics in one window.
That is very true. Well, I do want to go back to...
the movie?
Well, because we were talking about this earlier... about feeling bad for poor Alden Ehrenreich.
Yes.
Like, well, first of all, apparently the exit scores for the people who have actually gone to see the movie have been pretty good. Like, there is...
Overall. The whole movie.
Yeah, like, there is good word of mouth. Like, not as good as The Force Awakens or Rogue One, but good enough that...
Which I didn't think were great.
Yeah.
This is my favorite of those four movies.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow, awesome. Yeah. So there is, like... It does bode well maybe for like more long-term box office that people will go see it. But we were talking about poor Alden Ehrenreich. Like, people are going to like maybe crap all over him. Like, this could be his John Carter. Like, for those of you who maybe remember, like, the big Disney flop.
Let's go back to Disney again.
Like, the big Disney flop a few years ago. They spent $400 million making and marketing John Carter, and then it made back maybe half of that.
Well, and also, as somebody who was part of the Disney family during that whole push, I remember that they marketed the heck out of that movie, and they also were pushing everything to Disney employees, saying, here, this is going to be the greatest thing, get your John Carter souvenir mug, you know, like they were really right? pumping it. Oh, John Carter PJs for little babies.
John and Carter Halloween costumes.
John Carter. And then meanwhile, the public was like, what, Jimmy Carter's brother? Is there a movie? What? Right. I don't want to go see that. What kind of a movie title is that?
Right. So, and Taylor Kitsch, he had previously been in like Friday Night Lights and some other stuff. And this is supposed to make him a star. Mm-hmm. And there's supposed to be sequels. And then it just utterly tanked and got savaged reviews.
Okay.
And
so I have a tip coming out of the whole John Carter thing, and also coming out of Michael Clayton, which was a really good movie.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's name. You like that movie, too.
Yeah.
Don't name a movie after somebody. Like, don't make the movie title some character's name, unless it's like John F. Kennedy or Muhammad Ali or somebody who's instantly recognizable.
Right.
So you're going to make a story like Iron Man, yes. Or Thor, yes.
Captain America.
Yeah. Right. They're superheroes. We get that. But like John Carter, it could... If you don't really know who John Carter is, or you don't know who anybody else with that kind of common name, like Michael Clayton.
Right.
Like Michael Clayton was not about Michael Clayton. This was this great movie about this guy who was a fixer-upper of broken situations, and he was a bit of a heavy and a bit of a tough guy. And like, just the guy's name?
So yeah.
Movie people out there who listen to our podcast, I know you do,
and
just not admitting it.
And if so, please call us about Pupkirk so that we can get this off the ground.
Because we're working on a script right now. But you just got to not do that, people out there. Don't make titles for movies with characters that we've never heard of or very few people know of.
Yeah, totes. So
Alden Ehrenreich, who played Solo, was also in...
Oh, yeah. Hail Caesar.
I think we should mention Hail Caesar. And he was great in Hail Caesar because he was just a complete parody of a numbskull actor.
Which, now that you've told me what it's about, before we started recording this, I actually kind of want to see it. Like, I thought it looked kind of dumb when
It's kind of dumb, but it's kind of okay.
Yeah, so, like, oh,
it's kind of, oh, brother, where art thou, kind of dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Coen brothers, too, right?
Yeah.
So, and George Clooney's in it.
Uh-huh.
So there's a bit of that kind of vibe to it. Mm-hmm. Or Brother, Where Art Thou, I thought was very funny. I really enjoyed that movie. I didn't enjoy this one as much, but I still enjoyed it. And it would be a worthwhile excursion. But, so Alden Ehrenreich plays the moron actor who gets dropped in. He's like a cowboy star from the 50s, I believe it is. And then he gets dropped into this, like, Merchant Ivory type movie as the lead. He's going to be the big new star, and he just can't pull it off.
That sounds like a good setup.
Yeah, so but there's also a kidnapping, and there's a bunch of messy stuff in the background.
Mm-hmm.
The Coen brothers have kind of, I think they've lost their curveball a little bit, but it was okay. So it was a decent movie.
Okay.
So a good star,
mm-hmm.
and potentially able to carry on the franchise of Han Solo.
Yeah, he said in Esquire that he signed for 3 solo movies. So we'll see whether any more of them
get... 3 movies as Solo, but not 3 separate movies.
Well, who knows? I mean, who knows if the contract stipulates that? Because if there's a Lando standalone, he could totally...
He could be in that?
He could be in that.
Right.
I mean, that maybe might count as one of his movies. I don't...
Or maybe they're going to do a Chewbacca backstory.
Yeah.
See, now I would watch the heck out of that.
So
Chewbacca, with the origins of, we talked about this, with Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things I didn't like about this movie.
Yeah.
So
So Han Solo was thrown into a pit. He was supposed to be like the beast's
mauled
dinner.
Mauled by the beast, yes.
And it was Chewie. And Chewie was supposed to maul him and eat him. And
it was a young Chewie.
It was a young Chewie.
There was
only 190 years old.
Right. A young furry Chewie.
Yeah. And instead of Chewie eating him, obviously, they teamed up and they escaped. And then they became partners in crime. Literally.
But without first beating each other up. Or
right.
At least Chewie beating the heck out of Han Solo.
Yeah, and I was that made me sad because I didn't want to see Chewie in chains. Like I didn't want to see like starving, enslaved Chewie eaten like stormtroopers or whatever.
So
like,
that disturbed me a little bit is that so you see I think not a carcass but sort of like old clothing from somebody who had been eaten.
Yeah.
So wait a minute, like so Chewbacca is not a friend of the people?
Yeah.
Because I got the sense from all the Star Wars movies that I've seen that he was sort of helpful. So now, if I'm just spoiled it a little bit for me, is like, well, he gets mad at Luke Skywalker and he's going to maybe eat his arm.
Right.
Like, it changes the whole perspective for me. The whole, like, that's not possible.
Like, maybe Luke didn't lose his hand because it was cut off by Darth Vader. Like,
maybe
Chewie ate it.
Maybe there's a reason they call him Chewie.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's always chewing on people and they tell him, don't do that. Bad rug. Mm-hmm. Don't do that.
Yeah. So that made me very sad.
Made me very sad,
nobody
too.
Nobody wants to see enslaved Chewie.
Well, and that was a cliche, too, because it's like, oh, how do two people get together in a movie?
Uh-huh.
Oh, and then they form a partnership later on. Well, they have conflict in the beginning. They hate each other. And then they overcome that conflict and become best friends. It's like,
right.
Oh, come on.
Right. Like, Chewie, it's not like Chewie couldn't have been like Lando's like first mate, and then Chewie decided he liked Han better,
right.
And you know,
or even
jumped
just like
ship.
Chewie
like.
Saves Han Solo from something that because Chewie is an intelligent character. He's not like just a growling rug like he seems to be portrayed in the media.
And I love how when they first meet, like Han speaks Wookiee. And
which is news to me.
Yeah, which is totally news. And, you know, like, their whole first conversation is, like, speaking Wookiee. And then after that, they just go back to Chewie speaks Wookiee and Han speaks English. And
right.
they understand each
and
other.
And may I add, for those of you who are not fluent in Wookiee, it's broken Wookiee. It's not exactly...
Right.
He's not fluent in Wookiee.
Right, like, it's, like... You know, me bust you out. Like, you know,
like his pronouns are all wrong.
Right.
It's, just,
it's like horrific. Cookie Monster Wookiee. Like, to mix up our Muppets here. You
know? Wookiee Monster.
Wookiee Monster. There we go. High five. All right. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Off the rails again with Coco and Daltz.
Right.
That's what we do here.
So, do we need to wrap this up?
I guess we should wrap it up.
Do we need to bring the Falcon back into port? I don't know.
Bring the yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
So, thumbs up, a grade out of 10, a grade of letters. What do you think of Solo, a Wookiee story?
I liked the performances. I thought the action was, as we have said multiple times, thrilling. I thought the story was pretty good. I couldn't see any indication that it was a troubled production, so I'd give it a solid B to B minus.
I liked it. I think I'm in the B category, maybe a good 7 out of 10, maybe almost thumbs all the way up.
Wow.
I liked it a lot. I didn't notice that it was a Ron Howard movie until his brother showed up in the movie, and then because his brother always shows up in his movies. And it reminded me, it's like, oh yeah, Ron Howard. But it felt very much like a good thriller. Lots of good suspense and tension, like you mentioned. And if I hadn't have read all the stuff before the movie, I think I would have not come out of there second-guessing anything. I would have been like, oh, maybe this actor would have been better. Maybe that director would have been better.
Mm-hmm.
It was a perfectly entertaining a movie. And it didn't seem like it was 9 hours long, like some of the other movies we've seen. So... I'm with it. I recommend Solo. And as a matter of fact, like I said, it's the best of the four Star Wars, most recent Star Wars movies to me.
There you have it, folks. Coco and Daltz going contrarian with our Solo, a Star Wars story review. Everybody else says it's meh, kind of at best. And we wholeheartedly recommend.
And just when you think you've got us figured out and expecting me to dump on the superhero / Star Wars movies and Coco to completely defend them. I'm actually on board with this one. So stay tuned. You never know what's going to happen next time.
Well, but you like the Star Wars movies though, yeah? Like I thought that was...
I like the first three or whatever we're calling them.
Yeah, the 70s / 80s ones.
The ones with the young Han Solo in them.
But you've seen...
I haven't seen the prequels.
You haven't seen the prequels, but you've seen the most recent ones as well. Like the... Yeah.
But so. I didn't... Yeah.
You didn't love them, though.
I didn't love them because, well, to me, Rogue, whatever it was that we saw, was the same movie as...
Oh, The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens was the same movie as Star Wars A New Hope or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
It was the exact same movie. It's just different leads. So, but anyway.
But there you have it.
There you have it for another week of Coco and Daltz. We take you down the Solo trail.
Down the rabbit hole.
Down the rabbit hole. So for another week, I'm not Coco.
And I'm not Daltz.